Grace, mercy, and peace be you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I was visiting someone this past week who's been pretty sick, but on that particular day seemed to be doing fairly well, improving. And though his condition is really not going in the right direction, that was the best I had seen him in months. It almost felt normal. Adding to that lighthearted atmosphere were two friends who had come over to the house to clean. The discussion with them turned to some musical shows, namely Hamilton in 1776, and one of the ladies just mentioned off the cuff that she struggled with some of these historic shows because she was a history major. And some of the facts that were being given in these shows, she felt were not accurate. It wasn't what really happened. Out of curiosity, I just asked her what she thought of the political climate today. Really, innocently. Just wanted to know from a historian's point of view. Wasn't trying to start an argument. And she said something that I wasn't expecting. She said, "First of all, God is sovereign. He's in control, and everything's going to be all right." Whoa. You know, I just hate it when a layperson outpastors me with an idea that I should have said first. It wasn't all of what I was expecting her to say. This woman definitely had her Jesus radar on. Wasn't at all ashamed by her declaration of faith. People often say things to me that impact what I say on Sunday mornings, and I really appreciate it. So as I was ruminating about the epistle to the Hebrews, an idea struck me as a way to get into the subject that I wanted to share with you this morning. Hence the theme, the church is the progressive party in Christ. As the week came to a close, it seemed like that idea may have been kind of silly. But the bulletin was already printed. It was too late to change my theme. So forgive me if you're thinking this message is going down a political path, because that's not what this is about. It's really about a Christian's walk with God. Being progressive is not a negative term. We all like progress. We like to see a goal set before us, something to strive for to make our lives better, right? And although we don't always see progress in our faith walk with Christ, the truth is God is all about doing something great in us. It's about the church in a state of moving forward or progressing. So bear with me as I try to justify my theme. The church is the progressive party in Christ. You ever feel like you're stuck in your faith? You've hit a spiritual plateau. You're just not progressing in your faith walk with Christ. You lie down in your head at night and realize you haven't had an honest and personal conversation with God in a long time. You're not alone. Thinking back to your formative years, whether it was in Sunday school or confirmation, or having received Christ as an adult, you remember the days when you were close to God, shooting those arrow prayers heavenward. Your faith was moving forward. It was progressing. Everything in life revolved around God until one day you realized that you'd taken a vacation from God and never came back. You never intended that to happen. It's like what that best friend that you had, with whom you saw and talked to every day. And then life happened. And those conversations turned to once a week. And then eventually, not at all. What happened? In our spiritual walk with God, the COVID virus definitely took a shot at keeping us from gathering and hearing God's word. Now, some folks legitimately have health concerns that keep them from attending. It's just not safe for them. And for those who love God, this pandemic has been spiritually depressing. For other people, their estrangement from God and the church has been moving slower until there was no concern for God or spiritual things. If you're here, or if you're watching on Facebook Live and you're feeling disconnected to God, I hope this message will help you. This passage from Hebrews 10 is all for us to help us get our faith progressing on a heavenward trend. And whilst progress sounds like work, strenuous work, the truth is our progress into holiness is all about God's work. It all begins with the good news of Jesus Christ. The epistle or letter to the Hebrews is all about the supremacy of Christ. In the first section, it talks about his superiority, the superiority of Christ over the prophets, over the angels, over Moses, and even over Aaron and the priesthood. In the second section of the letter, it talks about the superiority of the new covenant Christ has made for us, because it is based on better promises, a better sanctuary, and finally, a better sacrifice, which is where we come to the point of our lesson today. Here the writer notes that the former priesthood of Aaron involves rites and sacrifices being done on a daily basis for the sins of the people. But then there's the day of Yom Kippur. The high priest would make a sacrifice first for himself and then for the people. He would have to do this once every year to no avail except to remind himself and the people of Israel of their sins. Just how weak were those sacrifices? The writer to the Hebrews puts it this way: for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Listen to how he recognizes the inadequacy of those sacrifices and the supremacy of Christ's sacrifice. This is verses 11 through 14. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. Listen carefully to the next verse. It is absolutely critical for our progression of faith. For by a single offering, perfected for all time, those who are being sanctified. In other words, those who are being made whole. This sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? It does to me. Christ's death is his sacrifice, his offering of his body, his blood, has perfected for all time those who are still under spiritual construction. You'd think once it's done, it's done. There shouldn't be anything more. But yet, as we live in this world of sin, God is continuing to make us into the image of his Son. In regards to your salvation, Christ sealed the deal with his sacrifice. In regards to your progress in faith, it's all moving toward holiness. Even when you feel distant from God, He is never distant from you, and he will never stop molding you into the image of his Son. He will always be working to build you and me up. And yet in that progress, you will never, never have to fear being holy enough when God calls you before his throne on the last day. Because God has already made you perfect for salvation through the sacrifice of his only Son. Sanctification is not the small print underneath justification, as if to add some new thing to the new covenant. It is not there as a threat to say that if you don't trust in Jesus' sacrifice, he will always be at work to make you perfectly holy on the last day, or that your salvation is at stake. No, it is a promise that as you trust in his sacrifice, he will always be at work making you holy until the last day. Now, Jesus, James, and Luther tell us exactly the same thing, and that is that faith is an active thing. Faith is not stagnant. True faith does not have to be strong-armed into action. That's what's really important about it. I feel that I have to say that because some will think that our salvation is secure so that they don't have to do anything for God. And while there's a lot of truth to that, it is also a biblical truth that true faith asks the question, Lord, out of gratitude for your great love and mercy and forgiveness resulting in my salvation, what can I do to show my love for you? Verses 22 through 25 are God's answer to genuine faith. Listen to the gentle and loving plea in these verses. There are no threats here. The therefore follows the gospel that we have just heard, that Jesus bled and died to secure our salvation. The work is indeed finished. So we never have to fear that God is going to change his mind for us. Therefore, then, he says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure waters. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us also consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see that day coming. Let me break down 3 points that were made in those short verses there. Let us draw near to him with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What an incredible invitation to draw near to God without fear, to call upon his name, even when we recognize that sin still exists within us. He wants you and me to know that you can come to him with full assurance, trusting the sacrifice on the cross. And that cross has made you perfect in the eyes of God for all time. Please hold on to that. Sanctification happens as he draws you near with hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You hear it. That's baptism language, isn't it? And you know that one does not baptize oneself. It is a passive act. It is something that is done to us. God washes us body and soul. And hence, God invites us to draw near to our loving God. The second part of God's sanctifying work is when God plants faith within us. And his encouragement then is to hold on. Hold on, brothers and sisters. Hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let me flip that around just so it's more clear, at least to me it was. Because he is faithful, he who is faithful has promised us a sure and certain hope of eternity with Christ. He invites us to cling to him, to hold fast to the confession of our hope in him. God has not and will not ever let us down. The afflictions we endure in this life will be made right in the kingdom of God. That you can be sure. Even in our wanderings, God is at work through the Word to give you something substantial to hold on to. While the world is losing hope, the Christian who clings to the hope of Jesus Christ, who keeps his promises, gets stronger and stronger, and is being formed more into the image of God's Son. And finally, the third part of God's sanctifying work, it says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This last note, the writer to the church reminds us that God is working through the whole church. If the church individually and corporately is going to be the progressive party in Christ, we cannot do it alone. We have to stick together. We need each other to be stirred up to love and good works, which is God's will. And that means meeting together regularly. So my friends, don't sit and stew because you haven't gotten a phone call from someone in the church. If you are missing the fellowship of believers, that's a good thing. God is actually trying to get your attention. God is lovingly inviting you to initiate a call to another fellow brother or sister in Christ. God promises that he's at work in the church, and because of that, if you put yourself out there toward others, the blessing from others will come back to you 100-fold. God is at work through each one of us to encourage each other, and that is how he continues to build us up, to make us holy, to sanctify us. Political parties' affiliations are not necessarily a bad thing, but I have noticed, probably like you have, that there exists a great divide between the parties, be they Republican, Democrat, or Progressive. But I believe strongly there is only one party in the spiritual realm that solves mankind's greatest need, our victory over sin, death, and hell. And it is the Progressive Party of Jesus Christ, also called the Church. And all that is required of the membership in this party is to receive the free gift of God's grace, made secure by that single sacrifice of the Son of God for our sins. And what God does next in sanctifying us is all bonus. He continues to draw himself to us, already washed clean, body and soul. He gives us a confession of faith to cling to, trusting that he will never fail us. He invites us into the fellowship of believers, where we are stirred to love and good works, and there find encouragement to grow into the full stature of Christ. That's the Progressive Party that I want to belong to. In Christ, I know you do as well. To God alone be the glory. Amen.
Amen.